Thursday night, we are going to scream about WrestleMania. Finally, part two. We get to talk about it. I've held it in for 5 days. God, it's hurt so much. But we're here. We're going to talk about
it's
it.
It's boots to asses time.
Thanks, Matt, for 21 months.
Thanks, Matt. So yeah, should be a good, fun, happy time had by all. We also have other news that we have to talk about that we didn't plan on talking about because we didn't know it was going to happen. But, you know, WWE decided to make today an eventful day. Thanks, guys. Thanks so much for that. I hate you.
We didn't even have a format for tonight. We were just
going to... We
were going to wing it.
We had a WrestleMania card. That's all we had because that's all we were going to talk about tonight. And then, you know... WWE is just like, hey, you know what would be fun to do today? Lol. So, yeah. Here we are, but we're going to talk all about the wrestling.
And other fun stuff next.
WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV, Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, Not Hottie. This is Christopher Daniels. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are too.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell... Ow! What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Everyone, welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you happen to be on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it for free for 30 days. All you have to do is click the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It really is that simple, y'all. It's a fun program. You should totally do it. You can also follow the channel there, or if you just want to hang out and chat with us, that is fine, too. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. We have opinions. We have news. Tweet us at WildTalkRadio, at RockRadioShow, at LindsayWard. Come to WildTalkRadio.com, MacRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WTRive, and interact with us. It's going to be one of them nights.
You know, we had a really simple show planned for y'all. This was supposed to be the final show in the WrestleMania road trip. We were just going to talk all about night two of WrestleMania and vent our opinions about it. because, oh boy, do I have opinions about it. And, you know, just simple, right? And then WWE just had to go and be like, hey, you know, I know it's just a simple Thursday, but we gonna make some news for you. We gonna make some waves, because normally the week after WrestleMania is super quiet for news. That's why we typically don't do it, and we just, you know, save the show for the actual show. We don't do an additional recap, because there's usually nothing to talk about, right? WWE, they just told everybody, hold my beer, right? Because, you know, post-WrestleMania, they decided to fire people today. Why they decided to fire people on today of all days, which, by the way, is the 1-year anniversary of the last mass firing, is a little ridiculous.
Today of all days.
On this day of days.
On this day of days.
God, what the hell, Kai? But before we get to that, we have to talk about the biggest story of the week. It's huge, guys.
Huge.
It's massive. Guess who got a creator code? This girl right here. I got a creator code. So if you'd like to use creator code Linz M Ward, L-I-N-S, M as in Mary, W-A-R-D, in the Epic Game Store, please feel free. I would very much appreciate it. Hashtag ad, hashtag epic partner. Now we can talk about the rest of the news brought to our friends over at mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. So the firings.
Let's go.
I'm not as brazen as he is.
No, she's not.
So this is the list as it stands right now. I'm going to warn everybody that there will probably be a few more tomorrow, potentially, just because not everybody answered their phone today, I would bet. So I would expect a few more. This could be it. I would hope to God this is it, but you don't know. So if a few more come out tomorrow, it's the people they could not get hold of today, I would bet. So running down your list, the people that were released today were Mickey James, Kalisto, Wesley Blake, Chelsea Green, who interestingly had just re-signed a new contract, Tucker, Mojo Rawley,
stay hyped,
and then the three, or I should say Bo Dallas, which yep. I'm personally very sad over.
Just gotta Bo leave.
We Bo leaved, man, and they buried him. And then the three really big names that got released, I think nobody was expecting, were Billy Kay, Peyton Royce, and Samoa Joe.
Can I hit the button?
Hit the button.
All right, we get to hit the button, chat. We get to hit the button.
Hashtag blame rock.
You're fired!
Actually, Matt, Bo was not that shocking. He had not been on TV since 2019.
Yeah, he hasn't wrestled in a year and a half. I mean,
so, and there have been stories coming out that he was preparing for post-wrestling life, so I think he either knew it was coming, or he asked for it, I would bet.
I don't think he asked for it. He survived last year.
He survived last year, because I think they kept him around just in case they needed him, and if they were going to go on tour or something like that. But yeah, unfortunately, Bo did not make the cut this time. And it makes me personally sad, because how many storylines have you and I sat here like and spitballed for him and everything else to come up for, but yet they didn't have anything for him.
Chat, legit, 10 minutes before this happened, we sat here and pitched an idea back and forth to each other for Bo.
For Bo, regarding Bray and Alexa. I mean, granted, a lot of it always focused around Bray, but because we never did actually get the Bo Dallas Bray Wyatt feud that I think a lot of people wanted. Because there was just so much history there, especially now that they could go into, because they linked back technically to Husky Harris, which means you could actually link back to the fact that Bo and Bray are brothers. But they never went there with it, never did anything with it. Billy Kay and Peyton Royce, I'm a little pissed about, actually more than a little pissed about, because you had a really good tag team in the Iconics. They were extremely entertaining. They were over. You split them up, and then you really kind of didn't do anything with them after that. Billy Kay was doing her thing on SmackDown, where she was getting over with the resume gimmick. Everybody really liked it. But it just was not enough. And Peyton Royce had like spotty appearances. She kind of got looped in with Lacey Evans, and then Lacey got pregnant and they didn't have anything else ready for her. So, right. That's sad.
Yeah. Okay. So the Iconics, they're very entertaining. They were a great pairing. Okay. That's one. Number two, I see in the chat, they did not bring in Adnan Virk to replace Samoa Joe. Play-by-play and commentator are two different positions. Michael Cole is trying to find the person to replace him. That's number one.
If anything, we have a theory that Joe did not want to do commentary anymore, or Joe was tired of doing commentary. He hasn't wrestled in 14 months, and there was never an official pronouncement on whether he was medically disqualified or not. I don't think they ever formally did it.
But the understanding was he's not cleared to compete. So they kind of probably, it's probably came a point where he wants to wrestle. Not that he wasn't great in commentary and could always go back to commentary. As a performer, he wants to perform while he still has a few years left in him. So if he goes back to Impact, that's one thing. If he goes to AEW, that's another thing. If he goes to New Japan, that's another thing. It all depends what Samoa Joe wants to do. He's made his money. He has had a WWE run longer than probably anyone actually thought it would be. Let's be real about that. Going back to the Iconics, it's as much as we love them as personalities, Billy Kay's not the greatest in-ring performer of all time. So neither is Payne. Payne's improving. But again, they're great. They're great. Act.
But in terms of, especially now that they are actually pushing the women's tag team titles, I understand it's 8 months later, but you have two places that you could have put them and you could have used them that they just ignored. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of calls for the Iconics to be put to back together. Like the fan base was like clamoring for it, for the two to be reunited, but they never did it. They never went for it. I think it's honestly a loss for them.
It is. It was a very popular act that they squandered. That is 100%.
Joe's obviously a loss, but I think Joe's fine with it.
Joe and Punk were joking about they got paid, so they're good. Mojo, it's Mojo. Tucker.
Poor Tucker. He just got screwed.
Tucker is just, it sucks. We never saw what he truly could be, if he could have been anything more than a tag team wrestler, but that's where he was. It was Wesley Blake. You know the story. Kalisto, talented performer. Will he go to AEW? They have a bunch of dudes in mask already who do the same thing, so maybe. Who knows? Chelsea Green, unfortunate, because they just re-signed her, and she's talented, but we never could see her be the gimmick that got her over in Impact. Plus, she's been injury-prone, especially when they brought her up.
Yeah, she had a lot of problems.
Staying healthy.
Staying healthy right at the start of pushes, and I think that just lowered her stock, and by the time she was able to really get healthy, they had sort of moved past her already, which is just really unfortunate. They had moved on to like Rhea and Bianca and some of the other women, and were pushing some of the other women, so it's like the window was there for her, but she just couldn't stay healthy, and then they're not touring, so, and that's the other part of this, is that they aren't touring, so these cuts wouldn't necessarily have happened if they were, because there's always a place for a lot of the names on this list to be on the house shows, to entertain on the house shows. That's primarily where they turn up if they don't turn up on TV. So they have that house show crew that works and runs shows. But because they're not touring, they didn't, I guess, see a need to hold on to people. They basically said that the reason why they're cutting people were budget cuts. I don't 100% believe that. I understand that they do have budgets. I understand that they do have to probably take money out. But I feel like money could have been taken out elsewhere. Like, I don't know.
Again,
CEO salaries, management salaries.
I also don't think it's a budget cut. It's creative. There's a certain amount of spots they want for the main roster. And when you bring people up, you have to remove people because you just can't pay everyone to just sit in catering.
And some of the people hadn't even been at the shows. Like Bo Dallas, from what I understand, he was at a few SmackDowns. He was at WrestleMania. They let him work out in the ring a little bit and do a test match, but that was the last time they really did anything with him. There was like nothing penciled in for him in terms of creative, which I just want to say this. I just want to throw this out there because they did Retribution last year, and we all know the turn that took, right? We all know how that turned out. But this, just take this hypothetical path with me. So you're telling me that 4 to 5 people that they brought up from NXT have more grievances than a Kalisto, a Wesley Blake, a Tucker, a Bo Dallas, a Mojo Rawley, and a Samoa Joe. Like you couldn't creatively stick all those names in Retribution with Ali, because every single name on that list technically has a grievance, where they have either been screwed over, like Tucker and Bo are probably the most egregious on this list, with Mojo right there with them, because here's the thing. Tucker was in a successful tag team, and then they decided to push Otis as a single, and Otis and Tucker got kicked through the barbershop window, and we never saw him again. Like, Otis fell in love with a pair of tits, and that was it. Like, Tucker was just out of the picture. Gone. Bo Dallas, he hasn't been on TV since 2019. Mojo Rawley had a job primarily because he was friends with Rob Gronkowski, and he's talented. But I think the main reason they kept him around was they were trying to court Gronkowski back. So they kept him there because they got him once. They figured, well, you know, we'll see if he comes back. And obviously, he's going to continue to play football, so they can't get him. Joe, they may or may not have medically disqualified. We have no idea. But you could write that into the storyline where it's like, they're afraid to have me in the ring. They're afraid to have me wrestle. It's not that they medically disqualify me. They're afraid of what I'm going to do to their people.
The man's... They're filming stuff for him, so we'll see.
Yeah, he should be back, but just like every name on this list you could have done something else with, but unfortunately they didn't want to, and they're putting under the guise of the budget cuts. Obviously their numbers post out for Q1 next week. They will probably report a profit, and then everybody will get pissed. So just gird your loins right now for all that. But yeah, that was the reasoning. Like I said, hopefully this is it. Hopefully nobody else gets let go. But one or two names could trickle in tomorrow. We'll just have to see. Everybody is on under no competes, and they cannot sign anywhere until July 14th, which may behoove them, because by July 14th, there is the very real possibility that promotions could be back in front of crowds again.
Mm-hmm.
And people could be looking to pay, get experience, especially on this list.
Yep.
Like there could be Joe. If Joe decides to go anywhere, he will go very, very high.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, we have to talk a little NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
There wasn't a lot that happened on the show, but there were some things that happened that we just have to talk about. Where do you want to start?
Just start with it. You know you want to.
Index lives, guys! It lives, and I'm so happy. I love it when they just do, like, direct fan service for people. That's so helpful. And Indy, honey, Indy, Indy Hartwell was just gold in this. So let me set you up with this. No, Ash, the no competes are usually 90 days. They have a standard of 90 days unless they really want to be a dick to you, and then they'll do what they did to Brock, which was like 10 years. Which he fought and won. Anyway, so Index lives. So the main event of NXT was
an eight person tag. It was The Way taking on Ember, Shotzi, Dexter, and
Bronson. Which, by the way, if Shotzi and Ember want to adopt Bronson, I'm here for that. I'm liking that dynamic. That's a really good dynamic. But yeah, so all day on Tuesday, Indy Hartwell was posting out about Dexter Lumis and being in the same match as Dexter Lumis. And goddamn, that girl needed a big gulp because she was thirsty. And like the good adopted mom that she is, Beth Phoenix was out here trying to get your girl laid. Like all week, Beth Phoenix has been giving Indy pointers. It's amazing. It's gold. With Candice LeRae coming in and being like, what are you doing? No, don't encourage us. Stop it. But Beth ships it, y'all. And she's here for it. And well, it all manifested in this match where Indy Hartwell did everything she could to get Dexter Lumis's attention. And well, she succeeded because at the end of the match, she got injured. And so Dexter being so gallant, he carries her up the ramp to medbay, in quotations, so she can get treated, in quotations. And yeah, we got the big old thumbs up from Indy as he's carrying her away. Never mind that, you know, he's potentially a psychotic axe murderer / stalker. We all ship it, so it's good. And she's willing, so I think it's good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that how this works? I don't know. But
nah,
yeah.
I don't know. It shouldn't work, but it is.
It totally works. And I have to give props to Dexter for keeping a straight face through the entire thing.
Well, he's good at that.
He's really good at that. But it was just like, oh my God, this is amazing. But yeah, Index lives. And then we got the single greatest interview segment with The Way that I've ever seen, because they were all worried. They were all backstage, right? Except for Indy. They were worried about Indy. They couldn't find her. They didn't know where they went. Mackenzie Mitchell informs them that, well, Dexter Lumis walked off with Indy, and they're all freaking out. Austin's doing his Macho Man impersonation because, well, he got hit in the ribs and got hurt. Johnny's freaking out. Candace is trying to find a phone. She can't find a phone. And then Indy rolls up and they're scolding her. And she's like, no, I took care of it. I took care of it. It's fine. Because they're like, where were you?
I was getting treatment.
I was in the medical area. I was getting treatment.
Treatment.
Treatment, in quotations.
She was giving treatment, all right.
Yeah, she's getting something. She was getting a treatment. She's getting treatment for her thirst. Let's call it that.
She was.
So, yeah, if you haven't seen it, go to the WWE Network Twitter and just watch it. I don't think we can play it on air, can we?
No. So, here's things that happen. So, Candace gets the phone. She's on the phone with the cops. She's trying to report Indy missing. Indy shows up. She's screaming. Candace is going off about what? The kidnap. She kidnapped their son. You know, that there was a white van. All these things.
Well, no, the first is, what do you mean this is the first time you've heard about this? He kidnapped our son. And then Johnny's like, the van. the van. Tell them about the white van, because the whole time, like, Mackenzie's trying to get the details from Indy. Austin's, like, complaining that he's hurt. Johnny's trying to, like, manage the whole situation. And then Candace is just walking back and forth across the scene on her phone, talking to the cops.
Yeah.
It was just, it's one of the greatest promos I think I've ever seen. And I know everybody's going to shit on me for that, but it's just hilarious.
To the point where she made, like, Mackenzie and Indy are, like, just text me or DM me or whatever details, right? To the point where they continue the story on Twitter where, you know, you see the start of the DM exchange, which was interrupted by Johnny. And then Indy finds out that Johnny has her phone.
It was so good. Also, I like Mackenzie to be like, so tell me everything about Dexy. I'm going to call him that now. Dexy.
No, don't. That's a terrible name. That's a terrible
Dexy.
Name.
Dexy.
That's a terrible name.
It's awesome.
Terrible name.
She was giving him that, Ash, but she was giving him the business. That's for damn sure, because her hair was all kinds of messed up when she walked up. And she left with it all nice and pretty. And then we had another really nice surprise in the form of the Golden Ladies of NXT. So they had Raquel come out to celebrate her big victory, but oh no,
which was interrupted by Frankie Monet, who started everything, you know, introduced herself to NXT. Continue.
The dog's so cute. And then, well, somebody else had to come and make her presence felt, and that was one Rhea Ripley, who, by the way, rocking a corset. It was so good.
It was like, are they gonna go? Are they gonna go? Are they gonna fight? Is it about to go down on NXT? What?
And then they're like, nice. Like they're comparing titles, and it's like, you did the thing.
And then it's like, cheers.
And then, well, not to be outdone, Miss Bianca showed up to show off her title, and they're all like, yeah, look at you. Like, they're all supporting each other. It's like women supporting women. They're all cheering each other. They're all excited for each other because they all did the damn thing. And three girls from NXT are now your respective women's champions, which is pretty damn cool. Actually, more than that, because Shayna and Nia are also tag team champions on the main roster. And then you have Shotzi and Ember. So NXT making its presence felt.
Yeah, the next class of NXT is making their presence felt. You had Bayley, Sasha, Charlotte, and Becky before. Now it's Rhea and Bianca up on the main roster. Raquel is starting to make moves down in NXT herself. So, I mean, things are looking positive, and it's a cool moment. It was a really cool moment on NXT.
It was. I really liked it. So, yeah, good stuff. So I say we take our break. Everybody get comfy, get something to drink, get you a snack, because when we come back, we are going to be talking all about WrestleMania Night 2. You don't want to miss it. So you'll listen to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR Live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Mondays. Once Monday Night Raw ends, join us for the Monday Night Raw post show.
Today I have something super serious to talk to you about.
Join us as we break down all the highs, the lows, and all the holy moments that go down every single Monday night.
Exercise!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Do I have your attention now?
Streaming live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night
event.
CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey y'all, you want to get social with The Rack? Follow us on Instagram, instagram.com/rackradioshow.
Did you know you can use support a creator code ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's R-O-C-K-N-S-O-C-K in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Hendrickson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and subscribe. It really is that simple. You can also follow the channel, or if you just want to hang out and chat, we are happy to have you any way we can get you. And I hope you guys are comfy. I hope you guys are ready, because we are about to talk about WrestleMania Night 2.
Which is presented by supporter career code Linz M. Ward and Epic Game Store, hashtag ad, hashtag epic partner.
Ding! Because, yeah, you got a creator code.
That's how you do it. That's how you just wedge it right in there.
Well, I mean, you're so good at being a shameless shill. I'm still learning.
I mean, you know, it's what I do. You can also use Rock and Sock in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad, hashtag get my partner.
It's up to you. Decide which code you want to use. I mean, you can alternate because it does expire every 2 weeks. So you can, you know, do my code, his code, you know. It's awesome. So anyway, we're going to actually start back to front because I want to save Bray Wyatt for last. So y'all have to wait just a little bit longer to hear my thoughts on that.
It's called building anticipation.
I didn't basically want to start out on a negative because I do not I have thoughts on that. So I want to start a little bit more positive and kind of work our way to it. So we're going to start, conveniently enough, with the WWE Championship, the main event of the show, which was Roman Reigns versus Edge versus Daniel Bryan for the title in a triple threat. Good God, that Edge pop. Good God.
Heel
Edge. Man got the loudest pop of the night. And possibly the weekend.
And it was not because it was pyro.
It was because it was him.
It was Edge. 10 years. To the date, he had to retire. Now he's back in the main event of WrestleMania. You don't think a crowd is going to pop for that? Come on. Come on, man.
And just to hear the strains of Alter Bridge playing across WrestleMania again, I mean, shut up. And I know it did it last year, but, like, it's not the same from last year this year.
It was cool in the Rumble, but it's been 15, 16 months since that point. It's like, he never got to wrestle in front of another crowd.
No, the poor guy. So, and I think, you know, so honestly, maybe the bicep injury was a little bit of a blessing for him because he was off TV for that long and now he's back and he got to win the Rumble and now he's back in front of crowds, which is really, really cool for him. And he tried to regain the title that he never lost. There seems to be a lot of that going around.
I know. Daniel
Bryan. A lot of champions trying to regain the titles and never lost.
I know. Daniel Bryan was over as well. I mean, the yes chances are yes chance and he got a... It's been so awkward watching him do yes, 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 and then you see kind of the wall doing it, but it's like it's delayed on the wall. This was live. This was an actual crowd doing the yes, 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 and it was so awesome.
I really, really liked how they carried over, or they did the fans this year with the live crowd, and then you interdispersed the cardboard cutouts into the show. It made it look filled out. It made it look really good. There was no weather delay, by the way, for this show.
Even though it rained all the way up to about 7.
Even though it rained like a son of a bitch all day long, they did not have a weather delay like they did the first night. So this one got off to a good start. On time!
On time, though they could have cut some time, but they were on time. This was a fatal four-way for the Universal title. Because, boy, oh boy, did Jey Uso play a part in the early goings. And surprisingly, the flowers around his neck stayed on every time he took a spear or move. They just stayed around his neck.
Yeah, he had a beautiful lay. So did Paul Heyman. And then Roman had a... He didn't have flowers. He had, I think, coral? I think it was coral.
Probably.
But it was beautiful. It was a very beautiful presentation. It looked, made it look very special. And surprisingly enough, Paul Heyman did not really play a factor in this match. He kind of stood back and he kind of watched, but he served face the entire night and gave us some really good facial expressions. Kind of made us wonder if he was up to something.
Did kind of make you wonder if he was up to something. But there were some moves in this match and some moments in the match where they're using steps, they're going by the announce table that made you go, wait a minute. Wait a second. Are you sure? Are you sure you guys want to be doing this? Like the one spot, it was like what Roman and Jey put Brian through the table, right?
Yes.
And then out of nowhere, spear. That was freaking awesome.
It was spear versus spear.
It was spear versus spear. We even got in the middle of the ring where they both went for it and they both collided and nothing happened because they just both hit each other and they fell.
But it was still good. It was still awesome because we finally got the collision of the spears.
You did. And, going all the way back really quick to the entrance for Pops and everything. Guess what, guys? The heel turn actually is working for Roman Reigns. The crowd's actually booing him.
You know, honestly, I didn't think it would change. Like, I figured it's like people are still going to boo Roman because they still can boo Roman.
But
like,
no,
that's the thing.
But they were cheering him before we went in the lockdown. He was actually being cheered. He was, I would say, 85% cheered when we went into lockdown.
Well, I mean, he has had a year to be a complete asshole,
I mean, it's a sign everything's working. What they're doing is working. He's drawing the right heat, which is what you want.
Yes, agreed.
Oh, so there was a spot in this match that made me go, you guys, one of you has had concussions and neck problems. The other one has neck problems. When you were doing a simultaneous submission, which was awesome, by the way, and then headbutting each other.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was the smartest decision, but they full sent on that one and just sort of went for it, which was a great looking spot.
I feel like it was kind of one of those moments where I think they all acknowledged to each other in the back that they've all had their physical problems. And then it's like, so we're still doing the spot, right? Yeah, we're still doing the spot. But just, you know, for the record.
They probably didn't even think about it. No one probably actually thought about it. I just sat here going, wait a minute, maybe that's not the smartest idea in the world.
You know who thought about it? Their wives.
Yeah.
You know, somewhere in the back, Brie and Beth were both standing there like, God damn it. This is why we don't let you out of the house.
Pretty much. So the end of this match is they're fighting, and I think Edge is in control, and he goes for the concerto. And he hit Brian, and he hit Reigns with it. Or he was going to hit Reigns with it until Jey Uso returned. And Jey Uso attacked Edge, speared him, which allowed Roman to spear him, and then give Edge the concerto. And then he stacked Edge on top of Brian to pin both men.
And it should be noted, because I pointed this out to Rock, that we really haven't seen somebody get physically, like, beaten with a chair to the point that it bent in a hot minute.
It's been a while.
It's been a long time, and Edge did that. He actually beat the chair over Roman, I believe.
Both of them. He was hitting both.
He's hitting both of them just back and forth and back and forth and back and forth until the chair bent. And it was just kind of one of those moments where you're like, oh, right, they used to do that. And it was just that appropriate level of violence that I can get on board with. And then he did the concerto on Brian, and Brian's just laying there convulsing. Like, if there's a cell of the night, that goes to Brian, because he was just laying there twitching the whole time. And you're like, is he okay? Is he good?
Right.
I think he's fine, but just can somebody check on that just to make sure he's okay?
Who was it? Who had the piece of chair? Was it Edge?
Yes, it was Edge, where they did the
the crossface with the
crossface
with the piece of chair.
Oh, they got kinky, y'all. They got super kinky because Edge puts Roman in the crossface and he takes the metal piece of the chair and he puts it between Roman's beautiful pearly white perfect teeth and basically pulls Roman back like he's got a bit in his mouth. Is pulling back on his head with the metal chair piece in Roman's mouth as he's doing the crossface. And not to be outdone, Brian's like, oh, I'm getting in on this stuff. And he proceeds to put Roman's other arm in a crossface type position.
For the yes lock, yeah.
For the yes lock. And he grabs hold of the chair piece. And then Brian and Edge start fighting over Roman. And Roman in the whole time is like, let me go. Please let me go.
That whole 3-4 minutes of was masterful.
I will say I love the dynamic in this match. I loved what they all brought to the table with it. I know a lot of people were very, very upset. Like, I shouldn't say I think that. I know that about Brian being added to the match. But I really think he added something to this. Not to say that Edge versus Roman one-on-one would have been bad, but I think Bryan was able to add elements to this that helped to keep it moving, and it didn't have those slow spots.
He kept it moving. It was fine, and also now you save Roman and Edge for down the line. You can do it again. I think we're going Edge-Bryan for the near future, probably at WrestleMania Backlash.
Which I think we're all fine with.
You get Roman a new challenger. You have a variety of choices, most likely Cesaro, to probably bow down the reins. Which is fine. I know people will be upset about that one, but that's probably where it's going. And you could do Roman and Edge at SummerSlam if you so choose to. If Edge is looking to stay in the title picture. If not, it all depends, because by SummerSlam, things are going to change. And, well, Edge is not going to do house shows. So there is that. So you may never get him as the world champion, and he may be fine with it.
It'd be a nice feather in his cap, but I don't think he really needs it at this point. But they may do it. We'll have to see. They may wait for live crowds. To like permanent live crowds to put the title on Edge, because that was the problem. Was you did WrestleMania and you had the crowds, which was amazing, and then you go back to the Thunderdome and you're like, right,
yep, we're back here.
We're back here. So continuing to rewind it, by the way, in case we didn't say it, which I think we did, but just to be clear, Roman Reigns retained the title by pinning both Edge and Daniel Bryan, and actually technically I think Edge actually won the match because he pinned Daniel Bryan,
but his shoulders were also on the mat, so no.
But it's a level that you can dispute, where Edge can be like, well, actually technically by the rules,
technically, from a standpoint, I am your world, WWE Universal Champion.
And I should get a rematch.
And yeah.
And that's how you set that up. Anyway.
So we're rewinding backwards, and you have the host of WrestleMania thanking everyone in their pirate suits. Yes, they came out in pirate suits. And not just any random things you get from Hobby Lobby or costume store.
Party City, you know, something like that.
Oh, no, these are professionally done pirate outfits for both men.
Custom fitted, custom made, you can tell. They were really nicely done.
People who made Bray stuff made that stuff.
They did a really good job with it. Poor Titus, he looked just like, I feel like an idiot in this.
Because they came out opening the show in their pirate outfits and doing pirate jokes. Brent loved it, probably, because, you know.
Yar. Well, I mean, it's a pirate theme, and that's the one thing I was really disappointed about on both nights and on TakeOver, was nobody took advantage of the pirate theme. Like, except for Breeze and Fandango. Like, they were the only ones that came out in pirate outfits. So it's like, you have a motherfucking pirate ship at the show, and nobody's dressed up like a pirate?
No one also jumped off the pirate ship.
It was a little too high.
It was a little too high.
So, which we respect.
So Titus and Hogan are out there thanking the fans and everyone, and out came Bayley. And where's my pyro? You know, where's all that stuff? And then she got her pyro, and she was excited. It's her time to shine. And then everyone's waiting. Everyone was buzzing. We both got up for a sec. I know I got up for a second. It was like, okay, we're gonna get in. And you wait. It's Bayley's coming out. I was like, okay, gotta get back and sitting down. And everyone's waiting.
I would like to point out, we were talking on Skype, and I was like, he heard me yell at him.
Yeah. Yeah, she did.
From his kitchen.
Yeah.
I was like, get back here, Bailey's coming out.
I heard it through my headset to get back here. So everyone was expecting this big to do, and we love the Bellas, but that's not who we wanted.
No, it wasn't. God bless, because Bree and Nikki both looked really good. And it was appropriate for them to come out and beat up Bailey, but like, I think everybody was expecting Becky. I think Becky was there. I think she was supposed to do the thing.
And then they changed their mind. They're waiting.
And then they decided not to do it, which I feel like that's not the right call. Like, obviously they understand what they're doing, and they feel what they did was best, but there was a buzz around Becky coming back. Like, everybody was really anticipating her coming back. Everybody was excited for it. Everybody was ready for it. And so it's like, you had the fans there. Everybody was geared up. We were all waiting for it with bated breath. Like, she was out there teasing it on Twitter. Like, the mood was perfect, because it was kind of one of those things where it's like the surprise got out, but it got out in a good way, because everybody was like, okay, yes, good, Becky's gonna come back, it's WrestleMania, she's had enough time to heal, there's fans, you know, there's all these factors in place.
It would have been a big surprise, and to their credit, they're probably like, okay, if it was just a big surprise and then she was gonna go away for 4 more months, maybe we hold off. Maybe if it's that, maybe she shows up tomorrow live on SmackDown. You never know.
You don't know, and that's okay. But, like, everybody's expecting Becky, and unfortunately she didn't show up. We got the Bellas in the place, and they beat up Bayley.
No.
Which is really awkward.
Okay, so here's what happened. Bayley's out there complaining that they were interrupting her time, and she goes, I don't know if you heard, but John Cena's not here tonight. And Nikki was like, bitch, no. She slapped that mic right out of her hand.
I mean, Nikki, honey, you gotta get used to it. People will be taking those shots all the time. Just saying. But yeah, they beat up Bayley. But what made it really awkward was that Hogan and Titus, in their pirate suits, just stood there and watched the whole thing.
I mean, you know.
Did nothing to help. Just stood there and watched while Bayley got beat up. So it's like, yeah, you know, y'all could, like, get in the middle of that and break it up. I mean, it wouldn't kill you to do that. But they opted not to help. And so poor Bayley got beat up.
And yeah, man, so that was probably another reason too. Didn't want to overshadow them.
Yes, Matt, there was a lot of screaming on Sunday. Not all of it good.
Not all of it good. But yeah, because of the two women winning their titles, Becky would have overshadowed, give them their moment. That was smart.
Oh yeah, it was very smart. But it was just kind of one of those things where it's like, oh, okay.
So we could see if Becky and, not Becky, Bayley and Nikki match maybe one day down the line.
Okay, I have to be honest. I love the Bellas. Don't get me wrong. I love the Bellas, but I'm not sure if I want to see them come back.
No, but, you know.
I mean, if they want to, that's certainly their choice, and I will respect it. But for me personally, I just... Y'all go live your lives and be moms and businesswomen and badass as hell. But I don't know if I want to see them back on the main product, you know? Because I feel like in a way that it's like... There's so many other new women that are exciting and getting an opportunity that I don't want to see. And it's more from the standpoint... I don't want to see someone that from the past come back and take a spot. Like, I understand they want to come back and win the tag titles. And if you want to come back and win them for like 6 weeks or whatever, I'm kind of cool with that. But if you're going to come back full time and you're going to work full time, which I don't think they are.
No.
Then I'm not sure I'm okay with that because there's so many new and exciting and fun women there. And I know that they would do what they would do to help elevate them. But it's just like, I would prefer to see those women over seeing the Bellas again, even though I love them. That's how I am with it. It's like, you guys retired. We have all accepted you retired. Please don't play with my heart like this. Okay? Once you're done, you're done. Thanks.
So, going back in the rewind machine, Asuka, Rhea Ripley, Raw Women's Championship.
Jesus, this was good. This was so freaking good. We got it again, too, which made me very happy. Got it on Monday Night Raw, which Charlotte interrupted. You hear our feelings on that on the post-show. But yeah, this was Rhea's arrival party. They had a fantastic match, beat the crap out of each other. Rhea looked like a star. She had several wardrobe malfunctions in the form of her stuff falling off of her costume, so she lost her studs and her glitter and her glam, but, you know, the costume still stayed intact. But yeah,
she had a live performance bringing her to the ring. A lot of screaming in that performance. Wasn't the greatest, but there was a lot of screaming.
I had to laugh because, like, they, for the opening of the show with Bray and Alexa, they had fire. And they had some pretty impressive fire. And then they did the Hall of Fame and they had Kane come out. And Kane did his fire. And it was impressive. It was bigger than Bray and Alexa's, which, you know, makes sense because it's Kane.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Rhea, who basically told both of them, hold my beer, and just lit the entire arena on fire with her entrance. Like, it was so good. I like literal fire too. I'm actually talking like actual fire, not, you know, like it was hot, although it was exceptionally hot. But yeah, it was just, the entrance was great.
Really kick-ass entrance. The music and performance was so.
Her song, her entrance song, especially performed live, is probably not the
No, it's not the easiest. Best. It's not the easiest to do.
Because it's scream metal.
Yeah.
It's screamer metal. It's not metal, so that kind of takes it up to another level, so it's hard to watch live because basically it's just somebody screaming. So, but
and
yeah.
And it really wasn't mixed that great, so yeah. Anyway, didn't take away from the match. They had a kick-ass match. They delivered the performance we needed to see. It was a lot different, a little slower than the main event on Saturday night, but they told a great story. They battled their asses off, and it was very enjoyable. And then out of nowhere, she ducks one kick, hits the Riptide, 1, 2, 3, your new Raw Women's Champion is Rhea Ripley.
Which I was so happy about. This was the right call. No offense to Asuka, she was a wonderful champion, but I like that they have the titles on Bianca and on Rhea, that they did pull the trigger on both of them, and they're going to go ahead and move forward with them. And that's... I feel like that's what the division needs to really help to reinvigorate it, because it suffered in the COVID era. And now they're starting to bring it back, just like the men's have suffered as well. But, like, just to help bring the women's division up, because there for a hot minute, like, I was a little worried that, like, the division was actually taking a step back just from the women that they've been pushing, and I understand they're pushing who they have. But it kind of felt back we were going a little bit back to the diva era, which always scares me when we kind of get into that territory, is the fact that you crown women like, and there's nothing wrong with the women that are a little bit more diva-ish. It's just they're taken so seriously now and they're given so many opportunities that the last thing I want to see is that they're basically turned back into jokes. I don't want that. So anytime we kind of start to go down that path, it feels like, it's like, okay, no, this is not cool.
So the difference between what happened Saturday and Sunday in the two women's matches is Saturday night, it was a really great match, and it's going to be very memorable because they were out there to make moments. These two girls came out to beat each other's ass.
Basically. I mean, there wasn't the same level of story or build behind
this. No, it was a 2-week build, and so there wasn't. So it was hard for the crowd to really fully get invested, but there was that moment. Let's go Rhea Ripley. Let's go Asuka. Rhea Ripley. Oh, let's go Asuka. I was like, oh.
I missed that.
I've missed this.
You forget. You forget where wrestling used to be because it's been so long since we've seen it with a crowd that you're like, right. This is what it used to be like. I've missed this. I've missed hearing the crowd, like hearing the roar of the crowd. Even though I watch it a lot of times on mute, it's like to just turn it on and hear the people in the audience after a year of really not hearing them. Because like the piped in noise is okay, but it's not the same. It's not the ebb and flow and the swell of the crowd. And you know, when they get excited and that kind of thing, it's just not the same as an actual live reaction.
No, it's not.
So,
real expressions, real everything, real emotion.
And I feel like having the crowd there brought something out of the talent.
Oh, they were all very emotional. They were all excited. They were all jazzed up to get out there and perform. You hear Woods talk about it on Twitter. Edge has talked about it in interviews. Rhea's talked about it. It's like, this was awesome. For them, this was everything.
This was so good. But yeah, I love that they pulled the trigger on Rhea and make she have a long and happy reign as Raw Women's Champion. Up next
was a thing. It was
a thing.
It was the Intercontinental Championship online in a Nigerian drum fight. Big E and Apollo Crews.
I don't even know how to describe this match. The band geek in me always hates to see them throw around musical instruments, perfectly good musical instruments, because it's like, well, somebody could have used that. But at the same time, I was really hoping to see a drum fly at somebody's head. It didn't happen. I will say the drums did play a factor, but I did not see a snare drum fly, and that was a little disappointing. I don't think anybody really knew what this was going to be other than they were going to beat each other like a drum. Get somebody it. Got paid to write that.
Yeah, they used kendo sticks to beat each other like a drum.
So
the match was fine. They didn't get a lot of time to really do much. They really didn't get the story to tell other than Apollo has help in the form of Dabo Kato. He came out in his military jacket, attacked Big E, allowing Apollo to win the Intercontinental Championship. It's great that Apollo has a heavy because the act kind of needs it because it's a very stale act if you don't have like a heavy to get you the heat, especially when you're doing that type of gimmick. So him having backup, having the heater, the big guy, works.
I just hope he doesn't have to wear the dress military uniform all the time. That's going to get hot and stinky. I mean, I will give credit where credit's due. Whoever did the military uniform did a really nice job on it, although it's a little casual with the tank top on the top, but that's obviously so he can take the jacket off and wrestle and that kind of thing, so whatever. But, and the pants were too short. But, I mean, props to who did the military uniform. I like that he has Dabo Kato because Apollo on his own, he's good on his own and he's built like a brick shit house, so you know he can beat anybody up, but having Dabo Kato there just makes it that much more intimidating. So I'm curious to see where they take it. But the match itself was fine. Like there's Big E tried. He had some really great gear on for
feeding him something in
feeding
Tampa.
Feeding Tampa, which he's auctioning off. So you can buy it. Go check out his socials for that, because I think it's on auction right now, actually. But yeah, this is good. This was fine. I was having a little bit of a hard time getting into this match.
You didn't get enough time to. It was like 6 minutes.
Yeah, because I was still kind of reeling a little bit, so it was just okay to me. I was actually really, really sour on the show at this point. So my opinion on it isn't as positive. However, I tell you what I did have a positive on was the United States Championship.
Before we get there, something we have to talk about.
What?
One of the best moments of the night. So we go to an ad, and Triple H is there in the ad with Bad Bunny.
No, this was not the best moment of the night because I cried because Bad Bunny's gone.
What? It was one of the best moments of the night. It was.
I cried.
So they have this whole big setup, you know, on the road. You know, they congratulate him. He did what he did, and they thanked each other. And then Triple H pulled out a box, and it was a pimped out microphone,
which everybody thought was a dildo.
Yeah, but it was there to hype up his upcoming tour next year. Like,
which
hey.
Apparently crashed Ticketmaster.
It did.
So, go Bad Bunny. You do you, sir.
You do you.
We hope you come back to us at some point.
So that was a very cool moment.
It was, even though, you know, and they let him keep the truck, which was nice.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was kind of sad because I was like, oh, no, Bad Bunny's gone. No.
So, before we get to the U.S. title match, we have to talk about what happened right before the U.S. title match.
God damn it. Can we just talk about the match?
No, because this is the setup. Matt Riddle drives up his scooter and up to Great Khali and Rajing Singh. And they were marveling over the size of Khali's hand. And then guess who showed up?
Rob Van Dam.
And he offered some RVD rolling papers.
Gotta get that product placement in there.
You know, for what I was told on Sunday, cigarettes.
Recreational smoking products.
Now you can talk about Riddle and Sheamus for U.S. title, because that had to be the setup for it.
I can't imagine that him giving out the smoking products were entirely planned. I have a funny feeling that got slipped in there. But the match itself between Riddle and Sheamus was really, really good. I think we all expected it to be, because they just beat the shit out of each other. Including the ending where Sheamus bro-kicked Riddle midair.
Mm-hmm.
And just punched him to the mat to the point that he busted Riddle open.
This was really physical. They really just did a number on each other. It's like, all right.
But I like that. I like when they let Sheamus be more of that brawler and he doesn't have to be the wrestler and he can just beat up people because he's so big and he's just so just brawly.
Oh, there was one bad moment that I'm thinking of now.
Hmm.
When they went to the ropes and they were trying to do whatever the white noise from the ropes. And it's like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, God. They couldn't quite get it to work, and they had to stumble off of the ropes and hit the white noise from the ground. But I was like, oh, he almost dropped them. Oh, this wouldn't have been good.
There was almost a moment. There was almost a concern. But yeah, no, this was, I liked that this was as physical as it was. Because again, you got to see what Riddle could do. Because we don't get serious Matt Riddle a lot, and you don't get to really see him use his fighting skills a lot yet on the roster, because obviously, you know, he hasn't been on the roster long, but even in NXT you never really got to see him be truly serious. There were only a handful of moments, so the fact that this is one of them on the roster and you got to see that he actually can go was really awesome. And it Sheamus was the perfect dance partner for him, because like you said, they just got physical and they just beat each other up, and I think that's what this needed.
It was the best outcome you could get, because Sheamus became your US champion. Pretty good. But yeah, it was a really physical fight. I don't mind seeing them work. Riddle is really good. Because he's an MMA fighter, so if he can get physical with someone who likes to just brawl, it's a fun time for Riddle. And that's what you get out of Sheamus. And we talked about it. Sheamus deserved that win. He's been busting his ass all year. He's had a great comeback. He's done everything he can to get other people over for an entire year. So him getting the payoff at WrestleMania to win a championship. It's like, the company saw that and went, okay, good job. We appreciate everything you've done for us. Will his title reign be long? Probably not, but guess what? It happened. He got his moment at WrestleMania. It was a nice capper to the Sheamus story for last year.
And I think it's important to note that Sheamus is one of those go-to guys that they have, but he doesn't get the same level of recognition as some of the others.
Mm-mm.
So it's like when they need him to be there, he's there, because ultimately he is that company guy. So I'm really, really happy that they rewarded him with the U.S. title. He gets carried around. He'll have a place of prominence in the product. And I think they're gearing him up to kind of go back out on the road. That's what a lot of this felt like, is they're getting the pieces back in place for them to start having touring again. And you need those people like Sheamus to have those titles. Not to say that Riddle couldn't do it admirably, but you may want to have Riddle in another spot. So by moving the title onto Sheamus, Sheamus is a more than capable champion. He knows what he's doing. And it just adds to his very impressive list of title wins that he already has.
Indeed.
So up next, we have the tale old as time. They will fight till they're dead. Nobody went off a pirate ship. We were all very disappointed. But they still attempted to kill each other. Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn.
Very enjoyable.
This was really physical as well.
Because it's them. Like, it's Kevin and Sami. It was everything you wanted, except for 10 more minutes.
Yeah, this could have gone a little bit longer, and I think it would have been fine. I think we all would have been good with that.
But they did everything they needed to. They went for it. Even we had a Blue Thunderbomb, a.k.a. the Michinoku Drive for... Oops, Cole was not having his best weekend, but again, he was doing 6 hours of...
20 shows.
6 hours of announcing, so, you know.
And he probably worked TakeOver in the back, so he had 2 nights of that.
And yeah, so ease up on Cole. This was good. It had the conclusion you wanted. You had Logan Paul at ringside. Kevin got the win. Kevin didn't want to do it. Sammy's like sparring up or something like that. He hit him with a stunner. Logan Paul gets in the ring. He's speaking with Sammy and he was congratulating Kevin and he offered him a handshake. Zayn got up and was yelling at him and then Zayn left. Paul was mocking him and all that fun stuff, and we were going, you know, you knew what the crowd wanted. The crowd wanted that moment. He teased the handshake. Stunner! By God! Stunner!
See, Bad Bunny had such a really, really good match the night before that we needed the traditional celebrity, in quotations, spot. So that's why they brought in Logan Paul.
So Kevin got his big, you know, moment, SportsCenter moment with the stunner on Logan Paul. Sami Zayn we'll have some sort of grievance on SmackDown, which would be great to see. And I hope we get another Kevin Owens Sami Zayn match because they're always fun to watch.
They are. It's a tale. Like I said, tale as old as time. They will fight forever.
Fight forever, yeah.
WWE Women's Tag Team Championship is on the line as Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler are taking on Natty and Tamina. That kick from Shayna to Natty's mouth. Jesus Christ.
That left a mark on Natty.
That was nasty.
The fans got behind Tamina in this one towards the end. They wanted to see her get the win. She did not. She missed the splash. But they wanted to see her win. They got behind her. And there was one comment. It's like, you're supposed to listen to your crowd. Tamina's your top babyface. It's like, calm it down, Twitter. Calm it down.
I think I've said this before, I always feel a little bad for Tamina because, like, she came in really 10 years too early. If Tamina had come in 5 years ago, it would be a completely different story for her than I think what it was when she originally showed up, which was around 2006, 2007, when they just were not taking the women seriously. They were not pushing women like her. They weren't really interested in women like her. And beyond having her with the Usos and be an occasional heavy, it just didn't work for her. And she's kind of always been on the back burner with either injuries or just, you know, they have her in the background as a heavy. Like, the stuff that she did with AJ was really good. Like, Tamina is exceptionally talented, but, you know, she just really doesn't get a lot of opportunities to shine. I always feel bad for her for it because it's like she's been there for over 10 years now. And she never really held a title, I don't think. Or no, she held the women's title, didn't she? Or she came close. I know they had her in, like, a program for the women's title, but I don't remember if she won it or not. I don't think she did.
She is a former WWE 24/7 champion.
Yeah. She never really got the opportunities that a lot of the other women got. And I think at this point in her career now that she's getting the opportunities, like, I think Natty is trying to help as many people as she can.
Mm-hmm.
And they're friends, right? So it's like, hey, let's do a thing together. So they're trying, right? And this is honestly the best Tamina has looked in a long time in terms of them letting her wrestle because she doesn't get to wrestle a lot. So this is one of the best matches I've seen her have in a while. I thought this was good. I thought this was fine, but you know, it's just, again, it's like poor Tamina. She just never gets the chances.
She does not. But, Nia and Shayna retain. Solid match. Not great. Not bad. It just there.
It was an improvement on the tag team turmoil match from the night before, but that's to be expected because it was two teams versus four teams trying to fit everything into a 15-minute period.
And in some strange world, this was the second longest match of the night.
Well, I mean, you gotta let them go a little bit.
They went 15 minutes. Everyone else was like 10 and 12 minutes. So it's like, okay.
Okay.
So
that's it. That's your show. Nothing else happened.
That's it. You know, we're done for now. All right. So we're going to talk about the positives first.
Okay. Bray's entrance was badass. Absolutely badass. The way that they had him transform, regenerate, whatever you want to call it, through the power of magic and CGI.
He was healed. It was very cool. He's in this whole big gear thing, in the bandage gear and whatever, and he's slowly walking, and then you get the CGI flames that take the gear off, and out walks
the fiend, a reborn fiend.
Same pants, a little bit brighter red.
His fucking pants are back.
Form fitting.
Fucking pants.
A badass top.
I will say this. I am very happy that he has gear that fits him, because that was the one problem when he went away in December, was his gear did not fit him anymore because he had put on the COVID-19. And that's, you know, he's not working as much, so that's entirely expected. So they did get him actual gear that fits him, which is good. He's also lost weight. He's lost a lot of weight since he went away. So I think he went home and really, really hit the gym and really got himself back in shape and got himself ready to go for Mania, because he just looked really good. I feel bad for the people that worked on the bandage gear, because I think we saw it in totality
three times,
and we saw the full gear. Where he had, like, this coat thing that had, like, basically the bastard son of Kane's blanket over his face, kind of covering his face, but it was all tattered and torn, so it looked like he had literally, like, just found it on the street and thrown it on to cover himself because he's burned and scarred. And so to, like, have some level of anonymity, he's thrown that on to protect himself.
You saw it for 10 seconds on
you did.
At WrestleMania.
To whoever made that, it looked fabulous.
The amount of money they spent on a gear you saw for 3 days.
I mean, that was expensive gear. So well done, Tom Savini Studio, on that. Please God, may I never see it again.
Because
you're taking him out of this graphic, by the way. I never want to see the fiend. There's a point that you can't see. But I never want to see the creepy fiend ever again. I never want to see it.
Well, this is our WrestleMania graphic. It's done after today. So they spent probably a good 50-100 grand on that setup, because all the prosthetics and whatnot.
It was expensive. It was some money. And then he CGIs into the new fiend outfit, which he's fully covered head to toe, which means the child got more tattoos and he's probably covered by now. But yeah, so he's got sleeves on, he's got the gloves, he's got the vest, and then he's got a new fiend mask, which fits his face a little bit better.
So it's a third mask.
It's a third mask. It is. Actually, technically, I think it's a fourth.
But no, it's like the third incarnation of the mask, because you're selling the burnt version on shop, which is what now explains why it was a limited quantity.
Yeah, because there's only...
It was there for 3 weeks.
But it's so creepy on shop, because it's literally his whole head, so it just looks like a head.
Yeah. So
it's so creepy.
So we get all that, and then we have Alexa then walk out, and she skips to the ring.
Where she had this weird face paint that made her look all creepy with the contacts, and she's got a cute little outfit with a little flounce and everything. And then there's a box-like structure that may or may not actually be a box that has a crank.
God damn
that
it, Cole.
I mean, why couldn't you just say it was a jack-in-the-box? Like, a box-like structure. Like, what the fuck?
Wait,
like, what is that?
Okay, so here I have a question. And Brent, I know you're listening. Can you see if someone owns the phrase jack-in-the-box? And that, is that why they called it a box-like structure?
Or you could have said a box. Like, there's just a box. Or you could have said a fiend in a box, because that's technically what it is. It's a fiend in a box. Nobody owns that, I don't think. But still, it's a box. You don't want to say a box-like structure. No, it's a fucking box. Just say it's a box. Come on.
So, which was cool, but so they're doing the whole twist thing and whatever. And it was cool. It was a great entrance.
Yeah, it should be known that she turns the crank to summon the fiend, and then the fiend came up out of the box-like structure to the theme, and what was cool was Alexa started actually cranking in time with the music.
Yeah, and then she struggled at one point, because, you know, she's 90...
Short
and, like, 90 pounds, 100 pounds.
Like, she was trying, man. She was trying. She's cranking that box, and the Fiend comes out.
To a massive ovation.
Oh, my God. The pop was amazing.
He's walking around that box like a rock star.
It was a rock star entrance with the lighting and the music and the drones where it spelled out, "Let me in." And then they did the close-up on him where you got to see a really good look at the outfit and the mask and everything. And he did the Luke Harper tribute.
Okay, so I went back. Luke Harper tribute had been in the ring, but he was still doing arm movements on the top. But he did the yay after he hit like Randy with the first move. Or something, you see the close-up. And it was, yeah, for his boy, Luke Harper,
and he did,
Brody Lee. Whatever.
And he did, like, the kiss, and he spread his hands out.
Yeah.
Like, it was so sweet. It was like, aww!
Because this was the first time he's been on television since Luke died, that he could be himself. He's not a fiend trapped in, you know, gear where he can't show emotion. This was the first time it's Bray Wyatt in the ring as Bray Wyatt, and he made a tribute to his friend he lost 4 months ago.
Yeah, that it was really sweet.
That was awesome. So, okay.
And I wouldn't say it was a move. Bray just literally looks at Randy. Randy's looking at Bray, and he's like, oh my God, fuck. And Bray just literally takes a flying leap, whatever you want to call it, off the top of this box, onto Randy, and just starts the match like that. He's like, Randy! And he just jumps on top of it, which had to be terrifying because he's every bit of 300 pounds. And this flying demon just comes at you.
Which for him, that's like, oh my God, I get to run and fly? Okay, cool, let's go. Randy, catch me.
I mean, that was kind of it. Catch me, Randy, catch me!
So this was going well. You do the neck crank and everything, and Brace are just feeling himself. He's no-selling whatever Randy's throwing at him.
Oh, God, he was so into it because of the crowd. Like, the energy in the room at this point is just so, so good, and it's like, everything's vibing. Like, Brace into it, Randy's into it, Alexa's into it, even though she can't be seen. You know, the crowd's into it. Like, everybody was so stoked for this because it was, what is this going to be? Like, this whole match was... what is this going to be? Because they never put a stipulation on it. There were rumors this was going to be a funhouse match. It was not. It was never cinematic. It was live and in person. I mean, it's like, and this is Bray Wyatt finally getting his revenge on Randy Orton. Like, we built to this for 6 months. This is a 6 month feud, guys. It started all the way back. Like, what?
September, October,
when he first started with Alexa. All the way back.
Yeah.
And they built to this moment. So everybody's super excited for it. They've done a wonderful job of building it and teasing it. And we've been waiting for it. And they're just feeling it. And Bray, being Bray, God love him, teased the mother effing punt on Randy. And we're all sitting here like, do it.
That we legit, we were screaming, do it, do it, do it. We legit were as it was happening. And then Randy rolled out. So it's like, God damn it, because that was an awesome callback to way back in the day.
The original Sin.
The original Sin.
It was the callback to the original Sin.
It was like, yep, we're going there. No, they weren't going to bring that up because it's just him doing Randy's punt, but it was like, we know.
If you know what it means.
If you know, you know. And we know.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, we know.
Now you know.
Yeah, basically, Randy Orton kicked Husky Harris in the head with the punt to... essentially birth Bray Wyatt
yeah.
a few years later.
So
that's what that means.
So the Fiend's in the ring. He grabs Randy and setting him up for Sister Abigail. He kisses him on the head. Then Pyro shot out. I was like, oh God, something's happening. Alexa pops out of the box. So she had 5 minutes to change, which is why no one ever saw her after the entrance. She jumped in the back of the box and started changing into a different outfit. She has
into
crown.
Her evil outfit.
To her evil outfit. She has this crown on her head and no one knows what's going on, and then black goo starts pouring out of it, and the Fiend's like, it's my Alexa. Oh my God. I must go to her.
He's reaching for her, and she's reaching for him, and then she pulls her hand back, and then just like that, out of nowhere, RKO. 1, 2, 3. Randy Orton pins the Fiend with Alexa Bliss looking on.
Randy slithers to the back. Fiend gets up.
And Randy gets the fuck out of there.
Yeah, he slithers it away, prays up, and looks at Alexa, and let's go out after, as they stare at each other. Boom, gone. Fans went going from, holy shit, when Alexa popped out of the box, to, what?
Boo. What the fuck?
Boo.
And I have to take my glasses off for this.
So Randy beats the Fiend, 1, 2, 3 in the middle. Some people say, hey, you should beat him up more. No, it's fine because it was a distraction and it was the surprise. It's one, it's a finishing move. It has put Bray down before, and you see it takes him time to get back up from it. But I understand. I understand why people want more of a devastating beatdown because it's a Fiend, yada, yada, yada. But I also get the surprise element of the finish.
Well, there's a theory on that you and I kind of came up with today, which is that, and this is based on what happened on Raw, which we talked about on the Raw post show, is Alexa brought the Fiend back, but she clearly didn't bring him back in his full form. And what I mean by that is he did not regenerate at full strength. Because the story that they've been kind of telling with this is that over the last 6 months, Alexa Bliss has gone from being controlled to being the controller. And she has been siphoning power off of Bray Wyatt while he was alive. And then when he died, in quotations, the power reverted to her. And she's been collecting it and gathering it and getting stronger and getting stronger and getting stronger until she brought him back. And she brought him back with a purpose, with an intent. And with the story that they told here, it was that she's trying to do something to the Fiend, whether it's kill him, whether it's steal the rest of his power, get her revenge, whatever. But she brought him back with the intent of taking him down potentially, so she did not bring him back at full strength, which is why it would make sense that Randy could put the Fiend down in one RKO because the Fiend regenerated, but not at full strength. That being said, all of that being said, do you have anything else to say before I go off?
No, I'm good. Well, I'll comment after.
Why the fuck can't Bray Wyatt get revenge on Randy Orton? Why the fuck can we not have this? Like, seriously, this is the third motherfucking time that we have tried this. Third time. Three. Second WrestleMania. Third time. We have done this. There's hand gestures. And he has not been able to do it. Why? Why can we not have this? If you know the story, this is a 10-year story. We have been waiting 10 years for Bray Wyatt / Husky Harris to get his goddamn revenge on Randy and kill him. 10 years. It's a long time to wait. We can't get it. Because somebody, and if I ever find out who, I'm going to yell at him. Somebody in the back decided, hey, you know what would be really fun instead of giving the fans the payout that they all want, which is Bray Wyatt beating Randy Orton? Hey, let's do a surprise finish and have Randy win, because that's fucking smart. Like, who suggested that? Who? I want to know who. Seriously, I want to know who that is because I want to yell at them. Like, this is why we can't have nice things. No, it wasn't Vince. It was Vince Lackey. But this is why we can't have nice things. This right here. Like, it's not hard, guys. Just have Bray win. Have him beat Randy. You can always go back to the story. But you had this whole build for 6 months. Randy kills him, in quotations, at TLC, right? Kills him at TLC. And then we have to wait 3 months for him to come back. Everybody bear in mind, this match was not supposed to happen at Mania. It was supposed to happen at Rumble. And then they didn't pull the trigger on it. They held it, and they held it, and they held it, and they drug it out until they beat the horse dead, and everybody was sick of it. And then they brought Bray back. And then they half-assed the build to Mania. We didn't get the storytelling that should have been there, which is, God damn it, we all wanted the callbacks. We all wanted to, like, Bray Wyatt to look at Randy Orton and just call everything back. Every single sin that he's ever committed against Bray, back. Call it back for what he did to Husky. Call it back for what he did to the family. Call it back for burning down the motherfucking compound. Call it back for setting Bray on fire and everything in between. Every sin wasn't there. You do this, and then it's like you come to Mania, and it's like, okay, fine, whatever. You come to Mania. Give Bray a badass entrance. He looks wonderful. He looks great. Crowds behind it. Crowds into it. And then you do that finish. Could nobody in the back call a fucking audible? Nobody. Like, this was just, this was so disappointing. And this, honestly, I almost turned the show off. The only reason I did not turn the show off is because I have to cover it, so I had to watch it. And rather than having to do it later in the week, because I don't know how Peacock's replay system works, I just kept watching it, but it literally took the wind out of my sails for this show for a straight solid hour. I did not give a fuck about anything on the show for an hour. I don't think it was until Rhea and Asuka happened that I really cared about anything. And even then, it was like, none of this matters. Like, why? Why did you do this? Why did you do it like this? Because now it's like, you know, you go to Raw, right? And Alexa gets the creepy doll, which needs to be set on fire. And I swear to God, if they put one more video of that doll close up, moving on its own, I'm going to burn Instagram. I'm going to do it. Because I don't need to see that in my life. I don't want that level of creepy in my life. So you have Alexa doing that. You have Bray doing Bray. We have no idea where the Fiend is. Because I will say, like, the one moment that kind of recovered this a little bit was Bray's acting and his body language. Because, like, there's the moment after he gets pinned where the lights come up and Bray kind of turns and he looks at Alexa. And there's an actual screenshot that you can see him giving her that side eye that is the, you bitch. The moment, the exact moment he realizes he's been screwed. And then he gets up and he yells at her, I think. He at least spit at her. And then she takes them away. And you can actually see it in his body language because he's looking around as the lights are going out. She takes him away. Which led to a lot of questions, and it still led to a lot of questions, which is namely, where the hell is the Fiend? Because on Monday, we saw Bray come back. Which I've missed that idiot so much. I hate that I've missed him that much, but it was so good to have him back. The rabbit lives. Yay. So that's redeeming. But where's the Fiend? Because Bray just said that the Fiend was going to return soon. So obviously Funhouse Bray is free. She let Funhouse Bray get away. But did she let the Fiend go? That's the question. Does she have him? Is she siphoning power off him? Is she going to use him to her advantage? Like, what's going on there? Because obviously she has Lily. She's created a monster in Lily, but we don't know what's going on there. But yeah, basically, and then on top of all of that, I'm trying to organize my thoughts. Sorry, it's all jumbled. You'd think with 5 days I would have organized this, but been busy at work. You have Randy go in the title match. And that was one of the reasons why they did the surprise finish, was they wanted Randy in the title match for Monday, I guess, which he lost. So you're telling me you changed the finish at WrestleMania, where we could have had Bray Wyatt murder Randy Orton and Randy Orton go off TV for a specific amount of time before he comes back. And he gets his big win and his catharsis and everything like that. You're telling me that we did not get the natural conclusion to the story. You decided to do a shit finish with no conclusion to the story, leaving everybody wanting, for the sake of Randy being in a title match, that he was going to lose anyway. And then on top of that, everybody's fucking confused because nobody knows what's going on. Nobody. I don't even think they know what's going on. Like, the conclusion should have been exactly what you guys originally booked. Bray gets his revenge on Randy. Bray gets his revenge. That's what it should have been. And it wasn't. And I'm very sad about it. And I'm upset and disappointed because I feel like, once again, with Bray, it's the same story. Different day. When the cards are down and Bray's got to get the job done, even as the Fiend, he can't do it. You're doing to the Fiend. Here, or at least here, they did to the Fiend what they did to the cult leader, which is they cut his balls off and they're cutting his legs out from under him. We'll see what they do with Alexa, but this was not good. I'm sorry. I'm going to call a spade a spade. Like, everything was good up until the finish, and then the finish was just what the fuck? Because everybody was trying to figure out what was going on with her, and to be fair, she was fine. This is not on Alexa. This is just on how they had basically the RKO into the finish where she screws him over, which is like, you could have done that. You could have had him fight somebody else and that could have done that. Like, I understand it has a specific level of impact because it's Randy, and Randy once again gets away from Bray. So there is a setup for another series between the two. But that's not what anybody wants. It's Bray gets his revenge on Randy, and then he is now able to move forward. Because Randy's like that last key piece in the puzzle for Bray in terms of the Fiend getting his revenge on everybody who's ever wronged him. And him taking a piece from that person that he wrongs and reverting them back to who they really are. Like, you see that with everybody that he's ever faced, is that they change and they revert to something different. Randy's no different, but we're not going to get that. We're not going to see that. And basically that whole, well, now that I'm done with the Fiend, I'm going to go for the WWE title bullshit that they had Randy pull. That was just like throwing salt on the wound. because it's basically, yeah, so we did this for 6 months and it really didn't mean anything and we just didn't care about it at the end. So we just like threw a shit finish on it and here you go. That's basically what it felt like, which I know is not the case because I know a lot of really talented people worked on this and they did a lot for this to get this over. Like just the amount of like props and costumes and sets and special effects and everything that went into this feud. That was a lot of money. There's a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of investment in this feud. And for them to do that finish, man, that was crappy. That was just so, so crappy. But I guess that's what we have to deal with. I guess that's just WrestleMania. I don't think LeMans are doing a rehash of Taker versus Kane. Where it's monster versus monster. I think it's going to be him versus her. But again, I ask the whole question of where is the Fiend? Because that is the big one. Funhouse Bray is free. He's back with his puppets. Alexa's with the creepy doll on the playground. And the Fiend is somewhere in between because Bray specifically did not mention that the Fiend is close. He said that he will return soon. That's all he said. So I kind of wonder if she does have him. Because honestly, truthfully, and I've talked myself into this idea, it's my own idea, and I kind of love it, is this notion of Alexa Bliss having a monster in a box that she can pull out whenever she wants and having full control of the Fiend. And he's trapped. And her either struggling with trying to control him over time because as the more she takes him out of the box, the stronger he gets. Or this concept of somebody has to help the Fiend to stop Alexa. So really it's we have to stop Alexa Bliss. She's using the Fiend. But at the same time, we have to set the Fiend free of Alexa in order to stop her. Like both would be really interesting stories because at least to me, because it's like who on the roster would be willing to help the Fiend. There's really nobody because he's gone after everybody. He's beaten everybody up. They might be willing to stop Alexa, but to help the Fiend, I don't know. You could do Braun, but you could also factor Randy in, which would be an interesting twist in the story, which is Randy redeems himself in the Fiend's eyes by saving the Fiend from Alexa.
You also could have had her adopt Bo Dallas and turn him into a monster, just saying.
She got serious on that one. You feel better now?
No. Yes. No. I don't know. I have to get back into him, but it just really just, it killed it for me.
It killed the
excitement and it killed the magic of it. Like, everything was perfect up until that point.
I understand that. It was the air got taken out of the sail, or the balloon, whatever you want to call it. They put a pin in it and went, poof. There it went. I get that. I'm disappointed that we did not get to see the outcome. We all wanted, the fans wanted, especially those in attendance, wanted to see something cool. They wanted to see Bray Wyatt beat him in the red lighting. Yep. That's the
but
one.
Here it
that's,
was appropriate.
Here it was appropriate, but no one wants to see the red lighting. It's one of those things where you just have to see where they go. It's hard as a fan going, but I always keep saying that. It sucks when you have to say that. It sucks going, all right, this is what creative direction they get. Here's the thing. I understand the need to change the direction. I've been saying that since it happened. It's like, I understand it from a booking standpoint going, we need a surprise outcome here. And it would shock the world that Randy beats the Fiend. It would have been cooler if he wasn't beaten before for the Universal title by Goldberg. Then that, okay, going all the way back, if Goldberg never beat the Fiend and then this finish happened at WrestleMania, and that would have made it big. Like, that would have been like Undertaker losing. It would have been the first big loss. Well, we also saw him lose in the triple threat, but he never got pinned. But that's different. But it was like someone finally pinned the Fiend. It would have been crappy, but it would have been more shocking if we hadn't seen the Fiend lose before, is what I was going for on that one.
And it also doesn't help that he had just lost back in December. Granted, he got lit on fire.
Well, that's not losing. That's being lit on fire. He was burned to death.
But it's still a loss. And I think, but I think also too, people expected like a level of violence in this just because the match before it was an Inferno match, essentially. That's what it was. And somebody got burned to death. And now you're just doing a straight up match. So I think you could have thrown some bells and whistles on there. I think you could have made it like a false count anywhere and they just beat the shit out of each other. Because that was the other side of it, was like, are they going to put a stip on it? And they never did. They never did. So their hands were kind of tied a little bit in terms of what they could do. And they did their best with it. Like, the match itself was fine, but I think people were honestly expecting this to be a little bit more violent. And so I could see that it's like, if you had had the Fiend get some offense in, more so than what he did, he and Randy beat the shit out of each other, tear it up, tear it down. The Fiend's diminished because he's been in a fight, and then you have Alexa appear, and you have her, like, do something to him, where it's like she does a hand motion or something, and suddenly the Fiend drops to his knee. He's weak. Like, you have the rumble of thunder, the rumble of darkness, or whatever. It's basically an indication that she weakens the Fiend, and you have Orton come in, swing in, because he's the opportunist, hits the RKO, 1, 2, 3, and then you realize that Alexa screwed Bray. I think that would have been a little bit more palpable, but because it's just like, it was so random. Because it was essentially, she showed up mid-match. That's exactly what happened. She just pops up out of the box, and it's like, oh my god, what's going on? And then all of a sudden, it's over. And the disappointing factor in it is not only that Bray lost, it's that people wanted more from this. It left a lot of people wanting, because there was such a massive build for this. There's so much story behind it that it's like you have an expectation, and they didn't necessarily need it in terms of like a violence level. So, but it was fine. Like, I keep saying that, but it was perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think people were expecting this to be a little bit longer, maybe a little bit more violent, and get a little more from it. And in the end, we didn't. And now they're all three split apart, where we don't know what the direction is for all three of them, because they're coming out of Mania and there's seemingly no direction. They're just there. Like, you have Bray make his big return in the Funhouse, you have Alexa introduce the creepy doll, and then Randy's just Randy, and he's back in the title picture. He's wherever he is. And it's just a very hard, sudden transition, because for the past year, they've done a really good job with the Fiend in terms of naturally transitioning him from one person to the other and moving him around, where it feels very, I don't want to say natural again, but the only word that comes to mind, because it's late, is natural, where there's a nice ebb and flow to what he does. This is like a very hard left turn in a completely different direction. And it's like, wait, no. And we don't know what the direction is. Like, you could see the story and you could see the path, and now that we've made the turn, it's like, well, are Bray and Alexa feuding? Or is Alexa going to create a monster and she's going to terrorize the women's division? We don't know. Where's the Fiend? We don't know. What are they doing with Bray from here? We don't know. There's no any kind of point or clue or anything like that, which in certain cases that can be really good. But when you just really abruptly in the story like that, where there's no catharsis to it, there's no nothing, it just ends, right? Like, it just suddenly ends. It's like the movie ends. It's like you're sitting there and you're watching a really good movie and you're really into it, and the fight scene comes up and the fight scene happens, and then right after, like, mid fight scene, okay, it's over, and you're like, wait, where's the conclusion? How does the story end? And I know the story's not ended, because now it's going to continue with Bray and Alexa again, we think. But it's like, there's no clues. And I will say they did do a decent job on Monday night, at least on her part, of explaining why she did what she did, which is she just decided that he died and she got too powerful and she didn't really need him, but she brought him back anyway for shits and giggles or to kill him or for some reason. And that's what I personally don't understand is, why did she bring him back? Why did she bother to bring him back? If she's powerful enough on her own, where she doesn't need the Fiend, why did she bother to bring him back? Like, the whole story was built to Alexa bringing the Fiend back so Bray can get his revenge. And instead, they went in this direction. Like, I think just because they had the doll ready and they had everything good to go, I think the betrayal or the turn or something was always planned. But I don't think they plan to do it at Mania. But I don't know. I don't know. It doesn't leave you with a good feeling. It doesn't leave you with a satisfied conclusion. And I think that's why a lot of people have a bad taste in their mouth with it.
So all in all, the WrestleMania experience was great.
I will say Night 1 was better than Night 2. I think that's the general conclusion on it, is Night 1 was better than Night 2. Please, for the love of God, do not split WrestleMania into 2 days ever again. Do not split TakeOver into 2 days ever again. And please do not put WrestleMania matches on SmackDown anymore. That made it for a really difficult taping schedule. Just saying. But all in all, I mean, it was good. It was really good. Like, it was a very satisfactory weekend, the Bray match aside, because we saw a lot of people get made at Mania.
We saw a lot of people get made. The women's division took a step in the right direction. The top division with Lashley is still champion. And Roman is still your champion. So for the first time in a long time, the men's titles did not change, but the women's titles changed hands at WrestleMania. So it, you can see where the big focus is to make new stars in the women's division rather than in the men's division, which is fine because you got some time with the men's division. The women's division really needed new talent at the top of the card for people like Charlotte and Sasha and Bayley to fight. So all in all, WrestleMania was a huge success. Both nights were great to watch, despite some outcomes that did not go the way we had planned. Overall, WrestleMania was a huge success. It was great to have fans back, rain delays and all.
Yeah, I will say, and this is the first time it's happened, that they've had like the rain factor into the show, but maybe enclosed stadiums would be better. Domes, if you will. Domes, I think, would be better than open air. But it's also Florida in spring, so, you know.
I mean, there's only so many domes you can go to. But, yeah, it was fine. Overall, the 8-ball went 5-9. The wheel went 6.5 out of 7. Me and you went 9-5.
Yay.
It's a great show.
This was a good show. This was good in WrestleMania, so we'll see where they go from here. But with that, I think we're done.
With no fans.
Well, we'll get fans back at some point. We're close to getting the fans back, I think. Please, God.
Summer. Late summer. Early fall. Fans will be back. But we're done. Fortnite with Friends returns Saturday. Got it? Cool. Followed by that will be Steve Ritter, SuperLive.com, GreaterTheGreatDebate.com, Sunday nights, Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern, Monday nights, Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern, 11:30 p.m. Eastern on Mondays, Zrak Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs. Review episodes for the next few weeks. Check out episode 15 now available. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, to have a normal show. Zrak Radio Show on all your social media platforms, that's Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. It's also the Rock Radio Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. It's at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. If Amazon Prime links your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming. And you can support the channel by clicking that purple rectangle button below the screen. You can also use credit card Rock and Sock or at Lynn's M. Ward in the Fortnite item shop. That's
or the Epic Game Store.
Or the Epic Game Stores, because that's a hashtag ad. Why, Lindsay?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. Ding!
Keep going.
Oh, I'm a... Okay.
That was my final plug, so you go.
Well, I didn't know. And you can follow me on most of the social medias at Linsport, LNSWD. Don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be back next week. Till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.